We're really blessed and honored to be here. Really, really blessed and honored to be here today. We shared this morning from James chapter number 5 and talked about the need for deep prayer, that prayer is not just an act, it must become an art form. And I shared briefly that visiting Accra, Ghana, many, many years ago, we went to the Accra market. And one of the highlights in that market was there were a number of individuals that were putting kente cloth together. And the gentleman was kind enough to share that it takes 13 years to learn that trade. And he said that, amen, just tell them that you'll meet them for lunch, amen. Tell them that they're paying. And he shared that the process, 13-year process to learn how to put kente material together, that art is fading because the new generation won't take the time to learn the art. They want the act. And prayer is a similar way. Ministry is a similar way. Some of the things that tend, watch my terms here, that we seem to be losing is the art of preaching. That's got to be President Trump calling, amen. That's got to be Trump. Forgive me, I've been up since 3 o'clock this morning. My filter's kind of like gone, amen. What is it saying? Oh, hallelujah. It sounds like an auction, amen. Please go with me now. And in the second service, I talked about Psalm 23, your table before your enemies, your head anointed with oil, and your cup running over. And similarly, in this session, we're going to deal with the hand, the basket, the straw, the spirit of dominion. The spirit of dominion. Please go with me to slide 4, Deuteronomy 16, verse 15. Bethany, it's so good to see you. You're the best looking of the whole bunch. Deuteronomy 16, verse 15. He says there, and it's in the middle of the verse, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your increase. I love that. In all your increase. And in all the works of your hands, therefore you shall surely rejoice. That's extreme language. There's a lot of alls, y'all. It's like all your increase in all the works of your hands. Say, my hands are blessed. My hands are blessed. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 5. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. Say, my basket is blessed. I never said basket. I said basket. Say, my basket is blessed. Basket. I'll even spell basket. Say, my basket is blessed. Say, my store is blessed. Amen. I'm in Deuteronomy 33 and verse 7. There are things that God has joined together. And we'll see this in this combination. Deuteronomy 33, verse 7. And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him to his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him. And be you an help to him from his enemies. Just raise your hand and say, my hands are sufficient for me. Say that one more time. My hands are sufficient for me. Amen. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 6, and Jesus is dealing with the issue of marriage and divorce. And there are a number of things he says there, but I want to pick up the last part of that conversation, which is, what therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. There's a number of things that God has joined together. And so when we look at what God has joined together, he's joined things together in clusters, in twos, threes, fours, fives. There's a cluster of fives, in sixes, in sevens, etc., etc., etc. God has joined those things together. So let's look at what God has joined together in twos. Slide number 10. Husband and wife. Heaven and earth. In the beginning, God created the and the thy will be done as it is. Amen. God has joined together spirit and truth. John chapter number 4:24. The Father seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. And one of the wonderful things about coming to Christian Tabernacle is the spirit that's here. This church has a tingle. There's a wonderful presence here. And it's been here from the very first time we came. And the whole story has never really been told. Others are telling the story. Just move on, Judah. And Bishop hasn't told the story. But there's a real tingle in the service here. And many times when we have come, I can actually smell it. It's like a frankincense. And there's a presence. It's like today, just it's thick. And sometimes if you're in something, you don't even know how good it is. Until you go to a place where it's not that good. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's good. Shall take your time, preacher. I receive your blessing, amen. There's places I go to where somebody is preaching and the brother really thinks he's deep. And so he's actually, or she's actually serving crackers and water, and the people are like, oh, more, Lord, more, more. He's so deep. And it's like crumbs. And so when a guy like Bishop Hurd, when an apostle like Bishop Hurd, I'll just throw myself by association, or myself, goes to a place and we throw out a piece of bread, it's like, and I get so fascinated with people who, anyway, and this church has tremendous truth. It's not just spirit, but it's tremendous truth. I got no rabbit trails. Tudor, behave. Oh, behave. God has joined together night and day, old and new, the law and the prophets, principles and patterns. God builds principles and patterns. So when God said, let there be, when he spoke that, he took that principle and threw it into a system. So you have principles and patterns. So when God builds a thing, he then puts the thing he builds into a system. So you have to have structures and systems. Because any structure without a system is a problem, and systems have to flow within structures. And once a system is in place, there's no need for you to go back and fix. And so we need to create systems for your receipts. Where do you put your receipts? Your light bill, your insurance papers. Because when it comes, I think it's April for you all, tax month. Is it the 15th of April? Then people start scrambling, looking for all kinds of things. That's because you don't have a system for finance. A system for raising children. A system for managing a wife who doesn't know that life and its definition is the struggle for overhead space. A system for church. There is a liturgical process for church. Enter into his gates and into his courts. That is a system. It's a system. And once adhered to, it works for our advantage. Taking too much time with this. God has joined together prayer and fasting. Matthew 17:21. Praise and worship. Tithes and offerings. He's even joined people together. Moses and Elijah. Elijah and Elisha. Peter and John, Paul and Silas, or Peter and Barnabas. That's wonderful. God has joined things together in threes. In threes. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the human system of being a tripartite being, we are spirit, soul, and body. And once we come into a worship experience, our spirit connects with God. But the gate for that is your soul. And so there are times when you may not feel good. You have to stand up and say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is with, bless his. Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Yeah, and so it's very difficult for you to have a true worship experience if your soul is sick. A lot of the problem is sick souls, wounded souls. So God has joined together in the human structure, body, soul, and spirit. I would above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul. 3 John 2. So the prosperous soul must be encapsulated in a healthy body. And a strong spirit. Amen. That spirit must be strong. Gotta be strong. It's gonna take more than that to break my spirit. The devil is a liar. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. And then God has joined together the sun, the moon, and the stars. And that's a prophetic apostolic construct. In the tabernacle, God has joined together the courtyard, the holy place, the holiest of holies. And in those three compartments, it's 30, 60, 100. It's brass, metal, silver, atonement, and gold. In that same configuration, it's three different liquids. It's water, it's oil, and it's blood. In the light configuration of that system, it's the light of the sun, the light of the candlesticks, and it's the Shekinah glory of God. And of course, in terms of rank and file, not every priest could enter into there. In the cluster of threes, it's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, the last verse, now abideth faith, hope, and charity or love. The greatest of these is love. When you're dealing with God's will, in Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 2, that we might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And so sometimes it's tough to find God's perfect will, but you can be in the cluster of God's good will. Amen. Amen. I'm trying to generate a smile from somebody. Our worship experience, as we've seen today, is in psalms and hymns. And spiritual songs. And I don't think we spend enough time in spiritual songs getting into a Yada moment or a Tehillah moment where we get lost and baptized in the Spirit. Because our greatest enemy is time. And it's all good, because we want all of Houston to be in the church. But to get all of Houston in the church, it means we have to do 12 services in one day of an hour apiece. And so time then becomes a struggle because some of the folks here that don't have a life don't have things to do after church. But there's some people that actually do have one. Can't you never say lubies? And so we can be in church all day. But because of time, there are things that we've had to give to accommodate others. And so we're a little bit short on spiritual songs. In Him we live. In Him we move. In Him we have our being. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. It's past, present, and future. In the Lord's Prayer, the last part, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. So God has joined things together in threes, even with people. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Aaron, Miriam, Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego, Peter, James, and John. And so when we look at certain configurations, as I said in the second service, Psalm 23 verse 5, He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil, my cup runs over. So we talked about the table, the head, and the cup. Please get that message. It's a good investment. In this service, we're now going to deal with the hand, the basket, and the straw. Say after me, say, Heavenly Father, bless my hands. Say that one more time. It is God that will bless all the works of your hands. All the works of your hands. So whatever you touch is blessed. Whoever you touch is blessed. That's why there is one of the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Chapter number 6, verse 1 and 2 of the book of Hebrews. One of the doctrines of Christ is the laying on of hands. The laying on of hands is a legitimate, real thing. It is Moses that laid his hands on Joshua 34, verse 9 of Deuteronomy. And there was a transference of wisdom and experience from Moses into Joshua. Jesus laid his hands on the little children, said, allow, suffer the little children to come unto me. For of such is the kingdom of God. The laying on of hands is important. Paul said to Tim, he said, lay hands on no man suddenly, because this has to be something that is premeditated and planned so that you don't get a renegade and an untested person into an area of responsible ministry, lest that person being a novice is destroyed by a demonic attack. So when we bless or we have our hands blessed, he said, I'll bless everything your hands touch. Shout, my hands are blessed. Yes. He said, this is Melchizedek. Melchizedek. Deuteronomy, Iowa. Genesis chapter 14. When Moses comes back from the battle of the kings, two kings meet him. Sodom, which is a system, and Salem, a system. The king of Sodom offers Abraham a deal, and Melchizedek offers him not a deal, but bread and wine, and serves Abraham communion. And out of Melchizedek comes a blessing. Now, Jesus said to his disciples, whenever you see these elements, bread broken and wine offered up, you commemorate or remember my death. So long before Jesus ever arrives to explain communion, Melchizedek, Melchi is king, Zedek is order. So Abraham meets the order of kings. Melchizedek, the king of Salem, which is the city of peace. My view is he's actually meeting the prince of peace. The communion elements symbolize that Melchizedek could be a Christophany, which is a manifestation of Christ. Not a theophany, a manifestation of God. A Christophany is a manifestation of Christ. And you will see Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego meet a fourth man in the fire, which is a Christophany. Christ in appearance in an Old Testament setting. So it is most likely that Abraham met his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson, Jesus the Christ. And the sign of that is communion. And the key here is that Abraham doesn't have a son. Because in chapter number 14, verse 14 of Genesis, Abraham went to war with 318 men born in his house. And so it can be discouraging that God has promised you a son, and people without a promise are having sons. And so now it is important that his great, 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 great grandson come and tell the old man, don't be weary in well doing. I am the future visiting you. Can I preach like I feel this thing? Because Abraham's problem was not sperma. Hagar proved that with Ishmael. Abraham's problem was Isaac was buried so deep inside of him, it was going to take communion to get Isaac out. Oh, that was good. I think I preached that at home. Amen. And so Romans 4 tells us that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. Because when he's looking at his great-great-great-great-great-grandson face to face, it's like, you can't be double-minded now, Abraham. I am the future coming into your present. And you have to. Even though your body is 100 years old, don't consider your old age and don't consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. Because I am a result of your faith. So lift up your head, whoever you are. It's going to take more than that demonic attack to bring you down. The devil is a liar. You will rise. Come on, Jesus. Oh, come on, Jesus. And so Melchizedek then pronounces a blessing on Abraham. And he says, blessed be Abraham, possessor of heaven and earth. Possessor of heaven is the blessing of dominion. Possession, the blessing of earth is the blessing of possession. And then he says, may your enemies, may all your enemies be delivered into your hands. Not under your feet, but into your hands. Because your hands are blessed. Oh yes. Whatever you touch, your hands are blessed. Amen. You'll pick up the jawbone of an ass and you'll kill 1,000 Philistines. Not because you're skillful in war, it's because your hands are blessed. He asked Moses, what do you have in your hand? Because when your hands are blessed, God can take a stick and cause the sea to part. When your hands are blessed, you can take a stick and hit a rock and water's coming out. When your hands, shout, my hands are blessed. Can I preach like I feel this thing this morning? Devil, my hands are blessed. If you'll put 5 loaves into my hands, I'll feed 5,000 men. Shut my hands. I'll bless. He said, if you'll bring your tithe and if you'll bring your offering and put it into the hand of the priest, he'll raise it up before God and God will bless your field. Shout, my hands are blessed. Give someone a high five and tell them 3 more coming. Come on. Three more coming. Because my hands are blessed. I'm going to the other side. I'm blessed because God has blessed my hand. I'll build that building if it takes me a lifetime. I'll raise that business if it takes me a lifetime. I'm going to another level. The devil is a liar. My hands are blessed. I kill you, devil, in the name of Jesus. Wakanda forever. Says here, no rabbit trails. Elisha sent a nameless prophet, a child of the prophets, to go and pray for a king. And when the king tried to assault him, God shrunk the king's hand. Devil, you better watch who you try to touch. Every enemy against you that's trying to touch your hand, their hand will shrink, but your hand will increase. If it doesn't fit, you have to acquit. Amen. Why did I say that? Say, my hand is blessed. Shout, my hand is blessed. Clap your hands for blessed hands. Clap your hands, all ye people. Because when you clap your hands, you're telling the devil that I am boss of my life. And then shout out to God with a voice of triumph. So Psalm 8 says God's hands are blessed. We see the work of his hands. Amen. Moses lifted up his staff and that was blessed. Elisha got a hold of the mantle of Elijah. His hands were blessed. The woman that had a little bit of oil in her house, he put the oil in her hands and her hands were blessed. You can be a Ruth raised in obscurity, a Moabite whose husband has died. But when you come to Bethlehem, God will bless your hands, Ruth. Amen. David, you might be outnumbered. You might be outfought by Goliath, but your hands are blessed. One stone will bring down that giant. So kill that giant. Kill him in the street. Kill that giant. Kill him in hospital. Kill that giant. Kill him in a courtroom. Kill that giant in the middle of a trial. Kill that giant in the middle of a storm. My hands are blessed. Clap your hands for blessed hands. Smile at me. Woo! I'm coming for that giant. Ready or not, here I come. I'm coming for my victory. I'm coming for my blessing. Because my hands are blessed. Blessed in this city. Blessed in... Ah! Wow! In your native language, my hands are blessed. Baby, when your hands are blessed, your $10 will do the work of $100. And if you mess with me, my $100 will do the work of $1,000. Don't play with me, Cletus. You bring it on, baby. My $100 will do the work of 10. My hands are blessed. My hands are blessed. Give yourself a high five. My hands are blessed. 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 I am a millionaire. My hands, I said my hands are blessed. I feel grace coming on your hands. Woo! My hands are blessed. Here I come. Ready or not, my heart. I believe the anointing of Bishop Hurd just jumped on me. Amen. 2 minutes. Amen. 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 Is that your husband? Is that your husband? Just control your man. Amen. Sit down. Hallelujah. Why, Tudor? Why? 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 Don't lose it now, oh great one. Don't lose it now. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 5. There are times in your life where your hands, the prosperity of your hands is so massive, you have to go to the next level, which is your basket. Shout, my basket is blessed. Shout, my basket is blessed. That didn't sound right. Shout, my basket is blessed. Because if you've been in this thing long enough, you are going to prosper. He said in Deuteronomy 8 and Deuteronomy 11, he said, if you hang with me, you will prosper. And he names 9 places in which you will prosper and grow. Because when you cross over, you're getting wells you didn't dig. Houses you didn't build. Jericho, here I come. Because my hands are blessed. But my blessing is so big, I have to have a basket. I have 5 loaves in my hands. But at the end of the day, it's going to be put in 12 baskets. Can I preach like I feel this thing? Shout, my basket is blessed. I want to tell somebody here, don't be frustrated because God's about to expand you to the basket level. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's about to expand you to a basket level. Your baskets are about to be full and overflowing. Amen. If your name is Jochebed and you've given birth to Miriam, then you've given birth to Aaron. Now you've given birth to Moses. You'll discover that Moses is a proper child. Your hands are blessed. You've given birth to the praise and worship leader in the church. You've given birth to the chief priest in the church. And you've given birth to Moses, the deliverer in the church. But your hands are so blessed, you can't keep Moses in your hand. You got to find a basket and put him in a basket. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And when you put Moses in the basket, he's going to go down the river and rock the system. Shout, my hands are blessed. Shout, my basket is blessed. When you were converted, Paul, on the road to Damascus, and you get to Damascus, your hand will be blessed. But Damascus is too small for you. They have to let you out at midnight in a basket. Amen. Because your basket is blessed. I want to come against every demonic spirit that's trying to eat the bread in your basket on the top of your head. I want the baker to know in the middle of prison, the birds will not eat what's on the top of your head because your basket is blessed. Shout after me, say in the name of Jesus. No devil will eat from my basket because my hand's blessed. I baked the bread. But my basket is blessed. I'm delivering the bread. You will not arrive at your destination with no bread in your basket. When you start your destination, your hands bake the bread. You put the bread in your basket. No devil, no weapon will eat the bread in your basket. You will deliver. Clap your hands if you can. words people in a church love to hear. I'm closing now. John 5, 6 and verse 5. This event appears in all the Gospels. There are some events that don't appear in all the Gospels, some in the Synoptic Gospels, but John's Gospel is so different to all the others. And of course, John's Gospel has events that should have been, in my humble view, raised in a village in Africa with my humble view. I'm not going to try to direct Dr. Luke or Mark or even Matthew, who is an intellectual guru, but somehow they chose not to add the feast in Cana, which John says is the first miracle that Jesus performed, turning water into wine. That's not in the other Gospels. Chapter number 5 of the book of John, scripture says there that there was a man that was sick for 38 years. And Jesus stepped over all the people that weren't well and raised up one man and told him, pick up your bed and walk. Tell somebody, pick up your bed and walk. Oh yes, in John chapter number 9, there's a man that was born blind and Jesus healed him. And they asked him, is this man blind because of his sin or his mother's sin? And Jesus says something so stunning. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can work. Baby, if you in a night season, weeping may endure for a night. But joy that amazing event is not in the other Gospels. And for me, probably the most significant thing that should have been in the other Gospels is John 11, where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. He was in there for 4 days, and Jesus called his name, Lazarus, come forth. Now we jump back to John chapter number 4. All of these events of the multiplication of 5 loaves and 2 fishes, John is the only one that puts it in a chronological, etymological order, where he says Jesus spoke to Philip, and said to Phil, how much bread would it take to feed this bunch? And Dr. Phil said, a whole storehouse wouldn't be enough. 200 penny worth wouldn't be enough for all this. And the scripture says, Jesus said this to Philip to test him. Well, why Philip? Again, this is my view. Jesus knew that Judas was a thief, stealing the money. And it could have been Phil was his replacement. And if you're going to work with Jesus' money, you have to walk by faith and not by sight. Because if you see 5,000 men with 5 loaves, you can choke. But baby, don't choke if your resource is so limited. Because God wants to take you from a handful to a basketful to a storehouse. Oh my God, I might just get African in you right now. I've survived all these years, devil, with what God has blessed my hand in. And if you're choking, devil, with my basket full, wait until you see my Super Sam, my storehouse. Oh, God's about to bless your storehouses. Go get your money, baby. Go get your money. Amen, amen, amen. I'm finished with this. In the second year of that shocking, horrendous famine in Egypt. I mean, yeah, man, Pharaoh has got to be a trip, really. I mean, Pharaoh has got to be a real trip. When a butler, Iwa, what do you call the guy that gives the drinks? Yeah, the butler. When the butler comes 2 years later and says to Pharaoh after his twin vision, and says, I met a guy 2 years ago in jail. His name's Joe. And they call for Joe. Joseph comes, stands before Pharaoh. And Joseph interprets the dream. And then he says, watch this. Let Pharaoh appoint an individual that can store food, because the years of plenty are coming. I've discovered, Sister Rita, the problem with a lot of people, we don't know how to manage our highs. You have to be able to manage favor. Yeah, baby, you got to manage favor. I want the devil and his mother-in-law to look at me right now. If I've built what I've built in a midnight season, what am I going to do when it is day? If I've built what I've built on a shoelace budget, I want him to know that when the money comes, Leroy Thompson, when the money comes, I'm going to another level. God's about to bless my storehouses. What was it about Joseph that Pharaoh said, you're the man? I came to tell someone God's about to appoint you to be the person, raise you up. And he gave Joseph the entire budget to reorganize Egypt in an infrastructural overhaul. Here's the first year now. Here's the first year. You know how people are. You know, kind of like bored with life. You know, yeah. You know, he's driving a Mercedes Benz. You know, we know what he's doing with the M-O-N-E-Y. Whatever. And so Joseph says, we got to build all this stuff. And so, you know, people are, it's like Pharaoh's tripping. Pharaoh's like on Prozac. He's lost the plot. He got a jailbird. He listened to the word of somebody that's been in jail, who incidentally is on death row because of a charge for sexual molestation against the minister of defense's wife. This is not like Pookie's wife. This is the minister of defense's wife. Stop it. Oh, behave. And Pharaoh is going to listen to this guy. And so now they see along the River Nile, they see buildings coming up that don't make sense. And super silos being raised up. And there's avocado pears that big, corn this large, wheat that strong. And they're like, why did Pharaoh listen to this guy? In the second year, Pharaoh is giving Joseph more money to build this. In the third year, by the seventh year, they know that Pharaoh missed it. But come year number 8, when the famine hits, because Joseph was teaching Pharaoh how to manage favor. Manage your favor, manage your money, manage your day season, manage your relationships, because when the famine comes, you're going to need all of it. And in the second year of famine, all the critics came to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, go to Joe. Yes, the guy you were hating on, the guy you were cursing out, go to Joe. And the Bible says that Joseph opened all the storehouses. God had blessed his hands, and then he started gathering food in the in the 7 years, he blessed his basket. But now it's time to show off that my store is blessed. Stand, let's pray. Amen. Jesus said, I'm with you always. British Airways will leave me. Hallelujah. Join hands with somebody that has blessed hands. Ask them first, are your hands blessed? If God joined together, If God has joined together certain things, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, body, soul, and spirit, and so on. If God has joined that together, he cannot then discriminate against hand, basket, and straw. Cannot, because God is the equalizer. So when your hands start getting blessed, start looking for that straw. Your house is too small. Your wardrobe is too small. Imelda Marcus, you don't have enough feet for the shoes coming to you. Elton John, you don't have enough eyes for the glasses that are coming for you. Can I preach like I feel like this thing is rolling in my spirit? Say, my hands are blessed. Tell the hand you're holding, say, your hands are blessed. Shout, your basket is blessed. Now raise the hand and say, my storehouses are blessed. Thought that something so great could come out of Nazareth. Shout, my hands are blessed. Luke 5, Jesus told Peter, he said, lend me your boat. Preach, he said, to Peter, God. And Peter said, look, all due respects, we fished all night and caught nothing. Yeah, because no man can work at night. Jesus said, God, and I'll reward you. And so God blessed Peter's hands. And the catch was so huge that they called their partners. And then God moves Peter from his hands being blessed and teaches him how 5 loaves and 2 fish can feed an entire region. Because your hands are blessed, you just caught enough fish for Capernaum, but 5 loaves and 2 fish, your basket is blessed. 12 baskets. And then he sends him when they charge him on taxes. They say to Peter, why doesn't your master pay taxes? Jesus said, you're going to go and catch a fish. 1 fish. And there's going to be enough money in that fish's mouth. The devil is a liar. My hands, my basket, and my store is blessed. Clap your hands as Bishop Hurd comes.